How many know that even though there's clouds in the sky, the sun is still shining? Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Can I tell you, I've been sick for the past couple of days, and, you know, I texted Pastor Ben kind of late and said, oh, you know, I'm really sick. I don't know. And Pastor Ben is like, well, you let me know, brother. I don't got anything prepared. And then the Spirit just convicted me. I went as far as calling my other pastor and said, Pastor, can you take my place on Saturday? I'm not feeling well. I even went to one of the interns at our church who's becoming a pastor, and she's speaking actually this Sunday. I say, hey, do you want to come and help me preach? He said, oh no, I'm not done yet. I said, okay, the Lord will provide. Amen. Yes. God provides. Well, today my sermon is titled "Wise Guy." Wise guy. Well, let me give you a little update first. Me and my family have been living in a hotel for the past about three and a half months already. Right now we're living at the Pocota Hotel. We had a leak, yeah, in our apartment, and it was flooded our apartment. And so because it affected our bathrooms, our kitchen, and we just couldn't live there. So our insurance, thank God for insurance, praise God for State Farm. They provided a place for us to live, and they work kind of slow, and things moved very slow, and that's why we've been there so long. But praise God, construction has started. Contractors working there right now, and we should be back there by the end of this month. Praise God. God is good. Well, anyway, today, talking about wise guy, I took the book of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, and how many of you can consider themselves to be a wise guy? Not in a negative way. You know, you say wise guy. Like there's some wisdom in us, huh? Wise guy. Not negatively. How many of you can claim that you have aged some and continue to do so? Okay, those who didn't raise their hands, their hearings has already gone. And some of them forgot the question I just asked. I'm feeling it too, you know, especially today. Actually, in these past couple of days, I felt like, you know, almost like, oh, Lord, you're coming for me soon, you know. You know, your body breaks down yet at times and you get sick. How many of you are not quite 50 yet? Well, me and Pastor Ben are only the young ones. We're not over the hill. We're still trying to get to the mountaintop, yeah. I got some of this stuff from the internet, so forgive me. It says, how do you know when you're old? You know when you're old when at the breakfast table, you hear snap, crackle, and pop, and you're eating oatmeal and not cereal. You know you're old when your mind makes contracts your body just can't meet. You know you're old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. See, I hear agreement over there. You know you are old when it takes twice as long to look half as good. Oh. You know you're old when your back goes out more than you do. Last one for you married people. You know you are old when you turn out the lights for economical reasons rather than romantic ones. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Repent and be whole. You know, most scholars believe that Solomon penned Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and all those, yeah? And, you know, actually it seems that the author is writing, you know, as I look through chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, it looks like he's writing from an older age because he's recounting all the things that he's done. How many know Solomon's a smart, wise guy? You could deem him a pretty wise guy. It was back in the chapters when God came to him in a vision or a dream and asked, you know, what do you want? You can have anything you want. And what did Solomon ask for? Wisdom to rule your great people. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for power over his enemies or nothing. And God had granted him that. How many know also that in Ecclesiastes, I invite you to read the book, you know, it's like the first 11 chapters is telling like all the stuff he was doing, you know. He was like testing life, yeah. He was going through all these things to test life, the pleasures, the work and all these things. And he had found no pleasure. Let's look to the scriptures right now in Ecclesiastes. I don't know if you printed any, but in Ecclesiastes, the first verse of chapter 12. It says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. kind of talking to the young people, yeah? How many as you get, know that you get older, you get more hard-headed, harder to change, yeah? Harder to do new things. You do things the way we always did them, and it gets harder and harder as you get old. Now, I know for a fact some of you might be not as young as you used to be, or you believe you are young, but, you know, the body is aging, yeah? You know, things are going. And as we read through Ecclesiastes, it kind of goes into detail. How many know this body is a tent? The scriptures describe us as a tent. This is not our home. This is just a temporary dwelling that we are in. And I praise God, one day we're going to have a new body. I feel like I need a new body even today. Amen? Get one amen for that? In the first verse, it's appealing again to young people to remember the Creator. And it's not just to say, oh, I know that there's a God, and just kind of casually remember. But the thought is to kind of recall His presence daily, to know that He is truly there, to have like this relationship, not just a book knowledge, know that, oh, there is a God, but to truly know Him in an intimate way, a relationship with Him, to be truly seeking our Creator daily, to discover, you know, His greatness, His glory, and you know, while we're still young, before it's too late. Now, Solomon suggests these reasons for thinking and relating to God while still young, because in, like I said earlier, in the coming days, as you get older, you know, and we call those the days of evil, you know, you're going to get older, and it's going to get harder and harder to really get to know Him in that manner. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, the way it describes, yeah, in the first 6 to 8 verses about our body, it's so vivid the way it's described. And you know, I'm not as smart as I seem. I had to study this and kind of look it up, and so, you know, I got some excerpts from Ray Steadman, you know, some people who are more edumacated than I am. And to describe, like, you know, what does this all mean when it talks about before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain? And, you know, at first sight, it's like, oh, he's talking about the weather. No, he's, all these things are relating about like a house, like our body, yeah? Let me go into a little bit of detail. Verse 2 says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. This refers to the fading of our mental powers of a person as we grow older, right? So how many of you guys, your memory is not as good as it used to be? How many of you walk into a room, you know, thinking like, I'm going to go there and do something and get something and perform something. And when you get there, you forget why you were there. Huh? Okay, I'm glad you are. Confess your sins to one another. So it refers to that. And you may find yourself not as sharp as you used to be. When you were young, you know, maybe you were quick on your feet, quick on your toes. You know, you're able to, you know, think things and, you know, witty with your speech or whatever. And when you're young, life seems so endless. Right? Like, you know, every day is just, oh, go out, do stuff. And you have all these plans. You want to go places, see places, meet the right person and all that. But as you go, as you live, day by day, month by month, year by year, you find yourself looking in the mirror and say, oh, how did that appear? How did that wrinkle come about? Wow, I didn't know white hair grows on eyebrows too. What happened, yeah? What happened to that guy, yeah? And you can use oil of old age and try to hide it, but, you know, the truth of the matter, it's there. Someone once said, just about the time your face clears up, your mind begins to go, and life is very brief, amen? The mental faculties are described in the terms of light, as the other part of the scripture says, before the sun and the light, yeah? The mind, with its power of reasoning and memory and imaginations, begin to fade. You know, when we're young, you know, we can imagine things, you know, to be a superhero, we can, you know, fly and all these things. We have a very stronger imagination. We can do anything, you know, even though we didn't, you know, might not be physically possible. But our imaginations are a lot stronger than before. I mean, when we were young. As you get older, reality sets in. Saying, oh, I cannot do that. Oh, I fear that. I know I can't do that. Your reasoning, your memory, imagination, it starts to fade, yeah? Fade. Well, it's not like a kind of negative, yeah? It's like the fading of the light of the sun. Perhaps the greatest gift God has given to us is the power of reasoning in our brains, able to comprehend and reason, yeah? And when that, and we begin to lose that ability, right, our memory starts to fade. And one of the first marks or signs of old age, there are things that indicate that the onset of old age. Again, the first is losing the memory. And I can't remember the other two. Okay, let's move on. The verse describes finding the fading of memory and our imagination, like the stars that grow dark at the approaching of dawn. The verse says the clouds returning after the rain. That's a reference to like a second coming of the childhood. Yeah, you know, when you're young, the in the child's life, there's only three things that really revolve around your life. Yeah, eating, right, sleeping, right, and what's the third thing? Bathroom. That's the three things, yeah. How many know as you get older, those things come back around again? The most three things you're concerned about is eating, sleeping, and going to the bathroom. Next verse, it says, when the keepers of the house tremble, refers to the arms, the hands, which we defend ourselves when we are attacked. As we age, those arms and hands begin to shake and tremble. And we don't have the same ability to defend ourselves. I remember when I was young, going to the gym, well, only like a couple years ago. Well, I was able to lift a lot of weight and bench press and press a lot of weight. And now it's like, wow. I mean, know that, you know, if you stop working on your body, the body begins to decline. It's like when you used to put on these plates, now you got to put on the smaller plates, you know, the plates in the women's section, you know, the little shiny weights now. Before it was the big ones, you know, with the black and, you know, bro. Now it's the little shiny ones on the side and you just kind of. Next verse says, the strong men are bent. This refers to our legs. How many know the legs are part of the strongest part of our body, our legs? When those starts to shake and tremble in old age, especially like older folks, right? You see older folks, they take shorter steps, don't they? It's like they're a lot more careful. That's a onset sign of old age, when your knees buckle and your belt won't, yeah? Amen to that. When it talks about the grinders, it's not referring only that, you know, locally you say, oh, you can grind, let's go grind. You're talking about your teeth, yeah? And back in the day, no more dental plan. When your teeth fall out, they fall out. When it's cavity, it's cavity, yeah? And, you know, I remember this one time at the park, we were serving the pork rinds, yeah? And they get the sister over there, you know, oh, my favorite. And I look at her, she's like, oh, lady, no more teeth like that. And she said, oh, my favorite. I said, how do you eat that? And she says, oh, I just put it in my mouth and then it goes soft and then I go gum them. Okay, praise God. There's a will, there's a way, amen? So tooth decay, they don't have dental plans back then. On the next verse, it says, continuing, it says, and those looking through the windows grow dim. That's so clear, yeah? Like your eyes begin to go, yeah? How many have glasses already, yeah? And things are not as quite as clear as it used to be. Eyesight is starting to glow, go, you know? There's things like glaucoma and cataracts. And I have to check every 6 months now with the things, onset of possible glaucoma. You know, they have these pressures that they measure in your eye. They charge you $50, which is not covered. But, you know, you have to check that to make sure that your eyes is healthy. So things like that come along. And back in then, that day too, no more eye plan. The next verse, when it talks about when the doors to the streets are closed. I was a little confused about this one. It talks about your mouth. When you have no teeth, you tend to go inward, yeah, the lips. Man, the doors are closed. All you have is the gums. And again, it refers probably to the loss of teeth. And, you know, we gum our food and, you know, no dentures and no blenders back then to blend our food. Try eat mac nuts with no teeth. It reminds me of a story that this young boy went to his grandma's house. And he was sitting there waiting for grandma to get him a drink. And he was just sitting at the table. And he was kind of like a little bit peckish. He wanted some snack. And he seen a bowl of nuts over there. It was mac nuts. And he started eating them. I said, oh, it must be plain, no salt like that. Grandma came back to brought the grandson a drink. He said, hey, grandma, you know, this kind of magna, they make them in chocolate. It's really good. You should get them. And her grandma goes, I know. I took all the chocolate off and I left the boat. Praise God. Don't eat nuts on the table if you don't know where they've been. The next verse, when it talks about when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their song grows faint. That's another characteristic of the aged, yeah? You wake up early. How many guys wake up kind of early? Oh, you young people over there. Only Grant over there is honest. At the chirping of the bird, I don't hear no chirping, mostly the cars in the street. And at the same time, because as you get older, the hearing goes, yeah? My grandpa, he has a hearing aid, but he doesn't use the thing, man. He cannot hear. Every week I bring him to church, but I'm not sure if he's really hearing the message because his hearing is totally like almost gone. And as you get old, that's one of the things that we lose as well. And then verse 5, when people are afraid of heights and dangers in the street, you know, as you get older, there's an increasing fear brought on by old age, right? You're scared to go really high places or, you know, to step by the cliffs or, you know, you probably don't go hiking anymore as much. There's because you fear the dangers in the way, right? Cracks in the sidewalk and maybe, you know, potholes and all that. You tend to be more careful because you know, like, fall down, you know, as you get old. You know, like, go to the busy places, right? You know, how many old ladies and walkers do you see during, like, Black Friday? Not too many, right? Because, you know, they don't want to be in the super busy place where everybody is hustling, bustling, and they might get knocked down. So there's a fear that comes about for old folks, yeah? Not talking about you. Tell your neighbor, not talking about you. Almond trees blossom. That's the next portion of the verse. This references to the hair, yeah? White blossom. How many got some white hair? How many try to hide them with gel, cap, and all that? It's going to go gray. It's going to go white. Just be thankful it's still there, not glossy, yeah? The next verse talks about the grasshopper drags itself along and the desire no longer stirred. Grasshoppers hop. They don't drag themselves. It's talking about, again, in the onset of old age, you come slower. You're not as fast as you used to be. And how many are glad are, when it talks about desire fails, that's actually talking about sexual desire or the lack of it. Aren't you glad that's the last thing they talked about on this verse? You know, because things stop working, yeah? Praise God. So, the next verse talks about man goes to his eternal home. And this refers to death, right? It's so clear. Physical death. And when it says home, it means that, you know, the human existence still goes on, right? It's a home. But the body dies. The grave is not the end. How many can say amen? This is not the end. Physically here is not the end for us forever. Amen. And then it says the mourners go about the streets. Various forms of death may take place. Verse 6 talks about, it says, remember him before the silver cord is severed. The songs talk about silver cord and, you know, there's many different people who give a different meaning to it. But the reference is to our spinal cord, the nerve, yeah, that runs up and down our back. It's protected by our spine, and when that's damaged or broken, and how many, you know, talking about sciatica and all that, it's all related, yeah? That's a sign, brother, but praise God, you know, there's healing, yeah? When it comes to this acupuncture, thank God for acupuncture. So that's one of the ways that you can be terminated physically. And then when it talks about the golden bowl is broken, that refers to our head, our skull. You know, a sharp blow, maybe you fall down, hit your head. And when the bug up here broke, again, you know, that's another way that can go. The verse that on verse 6, it talks about the pitcher is shattered at the spring. That was quite interesting. I didn't know off the top of my head what that meant. But that talks about the heart. How in a lot of people die in the U.S. because of heart disease, yeah? Too much roast pork and not enough vegetables, yeah? There's cardiac arrest and, you know, this thing stops ticking. And the verse 6 continues and talks about the wheel broken at the well or the fountain. That talks about the circulation blood, the circulation of our body. Maybe it's a hardening of arteries, I don't know, the blood clot or, you know, degeneration of veins. But when blood stops flowing, we cease to live, amen? If you stop breathing, you cease to live. If the blood stops flowing, you also cease to live. What a downer message, yeah? But I'm just preaching from the word. As the next verse in verse 7 says, and the dust returns to the ground. Dust returns to the ground, to the earth as it was. You know, the spirit returns to God who gave it. The spirit differentiates us as humans, as people, from animals. That's, you know, God has placed this eternity, something in our hearts to search, to know, to look like there's a little bit, there's more beyond this life. Yeah. Because even the scripture says that God has placed eternity, set eternity in our hearts that we will search for him. So, excuse me. So, after reading all this, it's quite a vivid description. You can go back to it in your Bibles later and just look through the Ecclesiastes, the first 8 verses. And turn to your neighbor and tell them, you still get time. You're still breathing. It's, you know, you're not young, but you still get time. You know, life under the sun without having discovered the reason for living is vanity, emptiness, and futility. What a waste to live a life and not discover why you are here. You know, the latter portion of chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes is titled The Conclusion of the Matter. You know, not only was the teacher wise, but he was also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. It's talking about Solomon. And even Brother Omar said, you know, Solomon wrote 300 proverbs and over 1,005 songs. It's in the scripture. How many don't know a proverb is not easy to put together, right? It's not easy to put together a proverb. And he wrote pen 3,000. Wow. That's so, you know, this guy who's giving us advice in this chapter, you know, we're not just getting some advice from some guy in the street or some guy who doesn't know, who's down and out, who does like, oh, life, you know, is a bummer. But this guy has experience. He's a knowledge. He's smart. Wrote proverbs and songs. You know, he's giving white advice from wisdom and experience. The teacher's search in verse 10 says to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. So it was not something just casually put together. It's thought out. It's written with intent to communicate. Verse 11 says the words of the wise are like goads. Goads are like a prod, like a stick with something sharp at the end. They use the goads to, you know, prod the animal to make a move in the right direction. Saw, but, you know, instead of going towards the cliff, you want to direct them back into the field. Their collected sayings are like firmly embedded nails given by the one shepherd. How many know the one shepherd, who the one shepherd is? One shepherd, yep. So this stuff is not just something that's made up. It's given by the one shepherd. Verse 12 says, be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them, of making many books, there is no end, and much studying wearies the body. And first, when I read this verse, it's like, you mean, you know, well, you shouldn't learn? No, it's not talking about that. How many know that in the U.S. alone, over 50,000 books are published every year? Not written, just published. There's so much information out there now with the internet and all that. You know, it's even easier. You don't have to publish things on paper. It just comes online. Cheaper, yeah? And there's so much information out there. But, you know, people try to search and learn and know everything and no. But they've, you know, searching this wrong stuff and trying to know the wrong stuff is not going to lead you in any right place. It's just going to make you weary. We need to study the word. That's what we need, yeah? So there's the warning on that. Now in conclusion, it says in verse 13, now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the first 11 chapters, Solomon describes all the things he's done, you know. I mean, he's tested life, right? He's tested by trying to learn, having wisdom. He's tested life in pleasure, in wine, yeah, drinking, having parties. He's tested it with work. He's built vineyards and you know, all nice houses for himself, and he's just did that. And he tested in wealth. He amassed gold and silver. He was considered one of the richest men of all time and on the earth. I'm not sure if it's true, but some say his net worth is $2.2 trillion. Is wow, that's a lot of dough, yeah. And he also, even women, yeah. How many wives did he have? So like 300 and 700 concubines. Oh my, where did he go astray, huh? Now you know why he was messed up. But now in his old age, he's teaching us, eh? Now all has been heard. He's tested it. He's been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the wardrobe, yeah? Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the duty of all mankind. I didn't know this, but the word duty, it's not in the original Hebrew. It's supposed to be fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the wholeness of man. It should be a delight, not so much a duty. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. That goes all the way to the end now. Wow. You know, when we talk about the fear of God, sometimes we get confused. We don't know the true meaning of fearing God. An interesting fact is that, and I didn't do this study, I just got this information via somebody else smarter than me. The fear of God is mentioned more than about 278 times in the Old and New Testament combined. Love of God is only mentioned 88 times, and trust of God is only mentioned 91 times. Shouldn't that ring kind of like a bell, you know, about fearing God? How many understand really what the fear of God is? Why don't we fear God in church? An evangelical Christian author by the name of Jeff Bridges is an actor, yeah? Jerry Bridges. He had some excerpts in his book that I'd like to take some and just to read to you. So just to think about this, to ponder this, why our conditions of our life is the way it is. It says, why don't we fear God in the church? Psalm 51:21 says, you thought I was altogether like you. We, in essence, we try to scale God down to our size, because we think God is like us. We don't really reverence him. As a result, we are not scared to disobey him. And, you know, we may look so reverent in church, but who really cares? Why do we live like selfish lives or live exclusively for ourselves, right? Fundamentally, because we do not really understand or fear God. If we really fear, we would live for God. God would be the center of our lives, not only by our mouth and our speech, right? But our lives would truly reflect that in every area of our lives, whether it is business, at church, at work, at home, every area. It's like you're not a different person at work. You're not a different person at church. You're not a different person, you know, with your family. This fear I'm talking about, it's not like terror. It's not a sadistic fear. You know, God is not malicious. He's not unpredictable. He's not irrational. He's not like a earthly father might act, you know, whack the kid because something went wrong, right? So to truly fear God means to be in awe of who he is, his character, as well as in awe of what he has done for us in Christ. You know, so why don't we really fear God? Why do we fear God? Because he is awesome. How many know that God is awesome? You know, in spite of our wretched sin, we're so messed up, he still loves us. Fearing God in the Bible is that we don't take God for granted. We must treat God with absolute respect because he's a God who judges sin. Amen. Reverence and awe have often been replaced by a yawning of familiarity. I didn't pen that. Just the way it sounded is like, you know, trying to understand that. The consuming fire has been domesticated into a candle flame, adding just a bit of religious atmosphere perhaps, but no heat, no blinding light, no power for purification. We must face our tendencies to trivialize God, for we face the dangers of illusion of a manageable deity, meaning like we are trying to manage God the way it's palatable to us, trying to make God box him in the way that is acceptable to us, and that's not who God is. How many know you can't box in God? God is large and in charge, and we can fall into that danger of it's like almost creating an idol, you know, like making God to whom we perceive or want him to be like, you know. In this intimacy with God doesn't begin with comforts of familiarity, but with the humility of a holy distinction that separates us. God is holy. God is holy. He's not like us. We're not really buddy buddies. I know, in the, you know, talk about being a friend of God and there's that relationship, but he's not your buddy buddy. He is God Almighty, who knows the end from the beginning, who is the Alpha and Omega. People have heard it said, information without transformation will result in hallucination. What does that mean? Oh, I love God, I fear God, but I never obey him. That's hallucination, no? If you fear God, you will obey him. The mention of fear many times in the scriptures, it ties directly into obedience. The marks or evidence of a true Christian, a true Christ follower, is by the fruits, right? You will know them by their fruits, right? You see what they do, how they live. So the question is there that reverence of God in our lives? Solomon in this chapter is warning us, you know, know God while you are young, while you still have breath. It's never too late. Start today. Go for it today. Remembering God again is not just merely about thinking about him once in a while, but it means to truly have a relationship with him, to discover him, to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to learn to know him while you are young. Because the days are evil. Brother and sister, I don't care. You can deny it. You can put it on the side. You're getting older. You know, even as you're sitting here, your hairs are slowly turning different color. Yeah, things are sagging. Hearing is going. Eyesight is going. You can't stop it. Yeah, you can't stop it. And, you know, we're going to go in this decline, yeah, in our body. You know, sometimes we think we know it all, but Isaiah clearly says in 55:6-9 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heaven are as high as the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts. God thinks on a different level. And we can't be so arrogant to think that we know it all. Yeah. So in conclusion, what is this? To remember again your Creator in your youth. Learn to fear God. Know who he is. Be in awe of him. He holds the breath of our life. How many knows if God decides to remove the breath or the oxygen in his air, we all drop? Nothing. You think you are strong? How long can you hold your breath for? God holds our breath. Keep his commands. I'm reminded, I've been trying to, you know, the brain gets older, it's harder to memorize things. But I try to memorize scriptures, yeah, and it's important. Thy word have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's a scripture that, you know, we need God's word. And maybe there's a lack of fear in the church because we don't really know his word. We depend on other people speaking on the pulpit. Maybe we depend on listening to scriptures online. We do a little daily bread, that's good. But we don't really know his word. Because if we knew his word, we would understand how important the fear of God is. For the fear of God is what? The beginning of, it's just the beginning of wisdom, yeah? To fear him. Don't wait. Don't wait to pursue him. Don't wait to have a real relationship with the Lord. You know, we're not born with this fear of God in us. It's not until God touches us or through his word, it revives our soul. I remember the scripture in Psalms 19. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, right? And the, See, there goes the memory again. There goes the memory again. But so the word of the Lord is necessary. His commands are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. That's just a partial of Psalms 19. And so the word of God, may I encourage you to really get into it. And, you know, the funny thing is, like, I study the most when I have to say, I have to speak or do a sermon. And that it's just reminding me that how important the word of God is, you know. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel or the good news, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. You know, brothers and sisters, we're not young anymore, yeah? Only maybe a few young ones. Some of them have fallen asleep and they're leaning on the wall, and it's okay. But praise God. You know, while we still have strength, right? While our mind is still working and we can still walk and we have to take these little steps and we don't have to use the little walker and all that. While we have that, seek the Lord. Pursue Him with all your heart. I encourage you. Because when you get older, you can get set in your ways. It gets harder and harder. The heart gets harder and harder as you get older. While you are young and have this strength, serve God. While you're young and strength and your mind is still has that ability, memorize the scripture. Because when your eyes go, your scripture is still in your heart. You can still recite and you can still pray the scriptures, right? I memorized Psalm 19, the whole thing. And I did it like every day. Like when I'm showering, I make it a habit to just declare the God's glory, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where the voice is not heard. The words goes out into the end of the world. And so, like, you know, when you do that and you have this word inside your heart, yeah, it's going to help you. It's going to strengthen you. Because there are days that you're going to be sick. There are days you're going to run into stuff that is going to tear you down or maybe even pull you towards depression. You know, life is not simple. For especially the young people, if the young people hear this message later on, you know, while you're a young man, maybe life is easy and there might not be as many pressures and responsibilities and of such. But as you grow older, you got family, you have the wife and the kids and the work and worry about life insurance, home insurance, this insurance, health insurance. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of things in life that comes your way. And then as we even at my age, man, you know, things are beginning to get sore like that. You know, I know Sister Jana Lee is going to rebuke that. Praise God. But yes, you know, we are getting older. But while you are still have this breath in your lungs, while your mind is still sane and have that ability to think and reason and memorize and really think, use it for the glory of God. And let's pray. Father God, I know I kind of stumbled through the sermon here, and you know my condition of my heart and my health and all that, but Lord, with no excuses, Lord, I proclaim your word. With no shame, Lord, I proclaim your word. Truly, your word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Lord, I just pray that the brothers and sisters here today will be encouraged that though this body is ebbing away, our spirits can be renewed and strengthened day by day. For it is all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother, for that message. Yes, we needed to hear that. And we realize, yes, we are getting older, aren't we? But it's all good because, hey, you know Jesus, I know Jesus, and we know where our eternal home will be one day. We're going to be all together, and we're going to be like running and swimming at such a fast pace. We're going to be going to and fro, and we're all going to be in the glory presence of God. Amen? And so we get to look forward to that. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, I got to tell you something. You know, the very fact is, you know, my dog Danny, oh, poor guy, he's losing all his teeth. Want to get two more teeth left, just like right in the front, like that. And, you know, we kind of noticed, like, several months ago, you know, he was eating his dry food and he started choking on it. And I looked at Abby, I go, what's up with Danny? And we look in his mouth, all his teeth are gone. And so we had to start feeding him, you know, the canned food, the soft canned food. And so, you know, he's eating that and he's enjoying that now. But, you know, I kind of thought about it. You know, the very fact is, you know, my implant on my right side, it failed. And so they had to take it out. So I can't chew on my right side anymore. But it's all good. I just thank God I still can eat. You know, and but you know, the fact is, yes, it's a little more difficult, but I could get a new implant, but that means another like $7,000 or $8,000. And I don't need to spend that kind of money, or not right now, at least, you know. But, you know, the fact is, right, yes, you know, yes, we're getting older. And the fact is, right, we're losing some of our abilities that, you know, we once had. And when we were young, yeah, we never even thought about it. But really, we give God glory, knowing that he's with us. And no matter what you're going through in life, you know God says, I am for you. I am the one who gives you life. And we have this abundant life because we know Jesus. Amen? And we'll never stop getting to know Jesus as long as our hearts are on fire for him. You know, in the scriptures, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, our outward man is wasting away. That's what it says. But our inner man, it's being renewed day by day. Why? Because Jesus is inside of you. And the very fact is, we're going to have bodies like Jesus one day. Did you know that? We're going to have glorified bodies where our bodies will no longer be able to get sick. You're not going to have any more stress. You're not going to have any more anxiety because you are always in the presence of God where he gives you this abundant, renewed life. And it's forever, brothers and sisters. It's forever because your heart belongs to Jesus. Amen? Why don't we go ahead? Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this message that was spoken by my brother Julio. And Father, yes, we know, Lord, he chose to be here today because he knew he had a calling that he need to preach the very words you called him to bring forth to upon us all this very day. And I thank you, Lord, for this faithful man, this faithful servant of God who chose to be here because he loves us and he loves you, Father. And right now, as you heard the word of God, you realize, yeah, you know, I just heard all these things from Solomon and I realize, yeah, I am getting older. But the fact is, right, we know it ain't all that great knowing that as we're starting to slow down and our mental faculties aren't the same. But we know God is with us. And you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, sometimes, you know, I kind of get a little down and I kind of wonder, wow, you know, is it only going to get worse? You know, especially with my physical abilities. Well, let's not focus on that because, like I said earlier, our inner man is being renewed day by day because of the word of God that is in us. And if you know right now in your heart, you're saying, Lord, forgive me of those times when I started to complain. I kind of, all I did was think, why am I getting older? Why am my bones starting to creak more? Why am I starting to lose my memory? Father, help us to not focus on those things. Because yes, we are being renewed day by day because of the very fact our lives belong to Jesus Christ. And if this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, Lord, yes, that is me. I'm not going to complain anymore. I'm just going to give you praise, knowing there will be that one day where I'm going to be standing before you. And in the presence of God, I am fully, completely renewed. I am completely perfect and physically, spiritually, because in the presence of God, yes, I have a glorified body. In the presence of God, I know that I am his. And this is the cry of your heart. Can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. You put your hands down. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, what you have spoken into us. And I know, Lord, I'm going to stop complaining to you. Father, I know as we continue to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith, Father, we know we are growing each and every day, Lord, in our spiritual walk with you, because we're becoming more and more like Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you have spoken today in this service as we continue to live our lives fully devoted and dedicated to you. Father, we love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And all my brothers and sisters say, amen.